The letter of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. You'll find our passage if you're using one of the little black Bibles under a seat in front of you on page 935 of that Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. It is strangely easy to forget the most important things. A cup of coffee on the roof of your car as you rush into work. The keys in the lock on your front door, your wallet in the back pocket of the pants you just threw in the washing machine, the password to your bank account login that you literally just changed yesterday and swore to yourself you could not forget this time, your child at church as you headed out to lunch. You laugh. I know people who have done that. I don't remember if I have or not, but wedding anniversaries, the birthdays and ages of your children, or these are just some of there are some things that we ought always to remember and never to forget. And yet we know how easy it is to tuck those little bits of information away in the far recesses of our brains where it is notoriously difficult to retrieve them. There are some things we ought always to remember, keeping that information just right behind our eyeballs and ever on the tip of our tongue. There are some things we ought to remember and never forget. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to a young pastor and his sort of protege, Timothy, a pastor in the city of Ephesus. Paul writes to him while he is himself in prison and near the end of his own life. And he makes certain to call Timothy's attention to the importance of remembering things he ought never to forget, specifically to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. Friends, at Easter, for certain, but every other day of the year as well, we must remember that Jesus is risen. We must remember and not forget that Jesus is risen. Church, because it is easy to overlook, because it is simple to forget, because it is easy to minimize or set aside the most important things in our lives, my intention today is to remind us that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and to help us to understand why it is important that we remember and not forget this foundation of our faith. Would you stand with me as we honor God by reading His Word this Resurrection Sunday, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. The Apostle Paul to the pastor Timothy writes this: "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." This is God's good word. You may be seated. We must remember that Jesus is risen. So, friends, this morning, I implore you to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, for at least three reasons. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. First, because as Paul reminds Timothy, this is the foundation of the gospel. This is the ground floor of the gospel. This is that without which there is no gospel. Christ's resurrection from the dead is the foundation of the good news that we proclaim. It's the foundation of the good news as a biblical promise. When Paul reminds Timothy that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead as the offspring of David here in verse 8, he is reminding the young pastor that Jesus is the fulfillment of a biblical promise. Specifically, he is the promised descendant of King David, who would rule as a king forever. Jesus' miraculous birth, his sinless life, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection from the grave were not all by accident, nor should they have been by surprise. Rather, they are all there to bring about the promises of God for a redeeming ruler who would, one, die to pay the penalty of sins for mankind. This is a promise given by God to his people through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. There the prophet is speaking about this suffering servant of God who would give his life for the people. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that he, this suffering servant, would be pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. Why? Because he's the fulfillment of this promise of God to send one who would die to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. But more than that, not only would he die to pay the penalty of sins for mankind, but he would be raised to rule as King of Kings. Peter, the apostle and close friend of Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, at the first Christian sermon ever preached after the resurrection, says these words in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. Peter declares, "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David." Remember, Peter is there speaking to Jews in Jerusalem. This was their ancestor king, David. "I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." You want to go see his bones? You can. "But being therefore a prophet," Peter says, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ." Just prior to this point in his sermon, Peter had cited Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, that speaks about one whose body was not left to corruption. Peter says he foresaw, David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. We must remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead because it's the foundation of the gospel. As a biblical promise, Paul himself wrote to the church in Corinth, reminding them about the promise, the biblical promise of Christ's resurrection. He writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, these words, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. Paul writes to Timothy to say, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, because as a foundation of the gospel, Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the fulfillment of biblical promises." But also that we ought to remember Christ risen from the dead as an historical event that is itself our hope for resurrection. Not just because Jesus fulfilled biblical promises, but because Christ's death or resurrection from the dead was an historical event that we place our hope in. It's the consistent contention of Christians in the New Testament and to this day that Jesus Christ did not stay dead. After dying for sins, he was raised up. This is an historical fact. For 2,000 years, believers in Jesus have been depending upon the physical and bodily resurrection of Jesus. Not just the metaphorical or spiritual resurrection, but the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, depending on it for our hope for resurrection from the dead as well. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus from the grave is the singularly unique claim of Christianity. It is what makes Christianity distinct among the many religions of the world, that we worship a death-proof king. In fact, it's been the consistent declaration of Christians for 2,000 years that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, that we have nothing to be glad or hopeful about. If you have any joy in you today, Christian, it's because Christ was raised from the dead. Because if he wasn't, we are of most to be pitied. Because Christ was raised, we have the expectation of being raised from the dead also. Because the grave could not hold him, neither will the grave hold those who have come to him for life and salvation. This is not a new realization. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 through 20, says these words. Listen to his argument. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, remember, Paul is writing this like 20 years, maybe 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching, Paul says, is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. In verse 17, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, it's pointless, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In verse 19, Paul says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul recognizes in the first couple of decades after Jesus' resurrection and the claim that he was not in the tomb but raised to life, Paul recognizes if Jesus isn't raised, we are all hopeless. And we who are proclaiming his resurrection are liars. But the good news is, the fact of history is, Jesus has been raised from the dead. So our faith is not in vain. It is fruitful. It is purposeful. And we do not go about life without hope, but with much hope. And not just hope for a good life now, but also hope for eternal life when Christ raises us from the dead. For 2,000 years, friends, many explanations have been attempted to explain away the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Some have hypothesized that his body was stolen from the grave. But this was an early rumor that even Jewish rulers, in the moments after the resurrection was reported, even they were trying to spread this rumor to say Jesus' body was stolen, but not even they could sell that theory in their own day. Others hypothesize that Jesus did not actually die on the cross, but was only thought to die, and he was taken down and revived later, though these who would hold to this sort of theory would fail to recognize that Romans who crucified Jesus were really good at crucifixion. And they were really good at knowing when people were dead by crucifixion. Some argue that the whole Jesus story is just a legend, a myth made up by a group of men looking for attention and fame. But these discount early historians' recognition of the existence of Jesus and the claim that he was raised from the dead. But maybe stronger in evidence for the resurrection of Jesus than any of these is one that a Christian scholar, Michael Kruger, puts forward, that whatever we do with these other objections, it remains that the earliest Christians, within days of the purported resurrection, the earliest Christians came to believe against all odds and against all expectations that Jesus of Nazareth had really been raised from the dead. He'd really been raised from the dead. Friends, we must remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead because it's the foundation of the gospel. It is that without which there is no gospel. There's no good news without the resurrection. It's funny how often I'll ask Christians to tell me about the gospel, about what it means to be saved, how we come to have our sins forgiven. And they'll always, almost always, include the truth about the existence of God and mankind's special creation by God in his image. They'll almost always include our sin against God and the death that we deserve for our rebellion against him. They'll nearly always include the plan of God to restore humans to fellowship with himself and the birth and sinless life and sacrificial death of Jesus and the necessity to trust in the finished work of Jesus at the cross for us to have forgiveness of sins. But how often they will forget the resurrection. Now, rarely is it really forgotten. It's usually just somehow left out or assumed. Jesus died for sins. We need to trust in him. But let us not leave out the resurrection today, that Jesus died for sins in accordance with the scriptures, and he was raised from the dead in accordance with the scriptures. This is the cornerstone and foundation of our good news. For without the resurrection, the promises of God are not fulfilled. We have no hope without the resurrection, and there's no expectation of forgiveness of sins if Jesus is not raised from the dead. But in fact, as Paul says, Christ has been raised. So remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Second, Paul says we ought to remember Jesus, risen from the dead, not just because it was a fulfillment of biblical promise, Not just because it's the foundation of the gospel, but also because this good news of Christ's resurrection is God's unstoppable good news. There's nothing that can hold this news back, that Jesus Christ died for sins and was raised again. Paul reminds us of this in verses 9 and 10 of our passage this morning, where there he says, "Remember, Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David is preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We do well to remember that 2 Timothy, this letter that we're reading, is one of, maybe the very last of, Paul's letters, the last of things Paul had written that we have still around. Paul is writing from prison. He says, bound in chains, because of the gospel that he's been preaching, that Jesus is God's Christ raised from the dead. But bound as Paul is in chains and under guard, chained and immobilized, as tied up as Paul is for the gospel, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, Paul says, is not bound. I'm suffering for this, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God, not bound, not chained. Friends, this is the amazing, delightful, confounding, and astounding truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the harder people have tried to stop it, the more it spreads. And the harder authorities, the more that authorities try to silence Christians from speaking about Jesus and his resurrection, the louder and bolder Christians become. This is a story of the gospel as it spread through the known world in the book of Acts. 9 times in the book of Acts, Christians, even in the wake of being arrested and beaten and threatened to be killed and actually being killed and flogged and whipped and taken before rulers and governors because they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ risen from the dead, 9 times in Acts, as the early believers are being persecuted for this good news, they keep on speaking with boldness about what they have known to be true. And that word boldness appears in all of these places throughout Acts. The more that the authorities and the more that others try to press Christians down, try to stamp out this movement of the gospel, the louder it gets, the bigger it gets. The more they threaten believers, the bolder they get. This is not just a theme through most of the book of Acts. This is how the book of Acts ends. At the end of Acts, Paul is in prison in Rome, awaiting a date to appear before Caesar himself to give a defense for his own refusal to stop preaching the gospel. Though Paul really intends not just to give a defense for why he won't stop preaching the gospel, but his intention is to preach to Caesar himself. And it's in this imprisonment in Rome that Paul daily preached and taught everyone who was coming to him about the promise and the hope of the gospel. These are the last verses, last words of the book of Acts. Hear them. Acts 28, 30 and 31. Paul lived there in prison in Rome 2 whole years at his own expense. And he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, and get this, without hindrance. I'm bound with chains, suffering for the gospel, Paul says in 2 Timothy, but the word of God is not bound. Paul tells young Timothy to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, because this claim, this truth, this hope that comes with knowing Jesus by faith, this gospel cannot be stopped. It cannot be bound. It cannot be hindered. It is God's unstoppable good news. But that does not mean that it has been forever popular. It is true that Christianity is the world's largest religion, but according to one organization, opendoorsus.org, there are 365 million Christians around the world that face severe persecution for their faith even today in 2024. But despite this, pressure on about a sixth of the world's population of Christians, the gospel continues forward. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. It is the truth that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead that must be constantly called to our attention, because the message itself cannot be bound if we will proclaim it. Paul tells Timothy to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, because it's God's unstoppable good news. But this is also the good news that fuels Paul's endurance. The good news that Jesus is raised from the dead is what spurs Paul to endure suffering and imprisonment. How is it that Paul can endure through harsh imprisonment and unjust persecution? Well, because Jesus has been raised. That's how. That's what Paul says. How is it that Paul can rejoice through bloodied lips and shipwrecks and life-ending threats? Well, because Jesus has been raised. Again, Paul, in his own words in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, says this, that we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Paul's telling them, remember what hardship we went through, what suffering we went through, what persecution we endured. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Paul says, at one point in time, things got so hard for us because of the gospel that we thought we were going to die. In verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1, he says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that, all that persecution, all of that despair, all of that hardship, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul says Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which is the promise of our resurrection from the dead, is what fuels our passionate missionary endeavor. Paul says he endures all this persecution, all this hardship, all this imprisonment, time and again. And he encourages Timothy to endure the same way by depending upon the truth that Jesus has been raised. Because this is the good news that leads to salvation for all who believe. It's good news worth dying for. Because Jesus who died was not bound to death, but raised. All of this. It was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Christian, we can endure, and we ought to endure, the weird stares that we might get from friends and strangers when we speak about the gospel because Jesus has been raised. We can endure the challenges of getting the good news of Christ to far-flung corners of the earth because Jesus has been raised. We can endure the fast and quick shifting winds of culture that often demand our compliance on threat of social destruction because Jesus has been raised. Friends, we can, Christian, we can, if necessary, endure death for holding to the gospel itself. Why? Because Jesus has been raised. And this is God's unstoppable good news. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, Paul says, because it's the foundation of the gospel. Also because it's the fuel for the Christian's endurance through hardship. But finally, in verses 11 through 13, Paul says that we ought to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, because this is truth that is worth singing about. This is truth that is worth worshiping God for. Verses 11 through 13 of our passage today read this way. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. This is truth worth singing about. Verses 11 through 13 of our passage today are structured like a song. In my Bible, those lines, 11 through 13, are kind of set out more like poetry than they are in paragraph form. In your Bible, it's probably represented the same way, which is to indicate to us readers that this is a different kind of literature, that there's something poetic about what Paul is writing here. Many consider these verses to be a hymn, to be a song that perhaps was even composed by Paul himself, a song to be sung and a poem to be recited to remind believers of truths of the gospel. He introduces the lines there in verses 11 through 13 by saying that these are a trustworthy saying, which, as one scholar notes, it means that this is something, what follows is something worthy of accepting and being deeply cherished by all believers. So Christians, hold on to this, Paul is saying. But what follows are four or five lines that run like a poem, that run like a song. They all appear as conditional lines. If this, then this, except for the last one. All together, they remind Timothy, and they remind us who are reading this today, of never-changing truths that are based on the gospel. If we have died with Christ, Paul says, dying to sin and living by faith in Him. If we go through this life and endure our death with faith in Jesus, we have hope of life with Him. If we have died with Him, we will live with Him, Paul says. We'll live with Him today as His Spirit lives in our spirit by faith. And we will live with Him forever when He raises us from the dead as He was raised. If we endure in this life, if we press on through hardship, Paul says, we will reign with Him. This promise finds its beginning in the scriptural promise that we are co-heirs with Christ of what is to come in the resurrection. Co-heirs of this world made new, where we will live with Him in glory and joy and everlasting life. If we endure in this life, we will reign with Him. Why? Because He was risen from the dead. If we deny Him, Paul says, He will deny us. As Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, if you deny me before men, so also I deny you before my Father, reminding us that identification with Christ is not a matter of convenience, but of conviction and of certain faith, that there is no one called Christian who seeks to deny Christ. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are faithless, our faithlessness does not change His character. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, Paul says in verse 13. For as the book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful, He is just, and He is true because that is His very nature. He cannot deny Himself. I do love that Paul finds himself singing at the end of this passage, because this is what the truth that Jesus, who is raised from the dead, this is what the truth is meant to lead everyone to praise and to worship. Not just an understanding of the gospel, though at least that. Not just fuel for endurance, but certainly that. But the good news that Jesus is raised from the dead. And the reason that Paul wants to remind Timothy and call Timothy to remember and never to forget Jesus raised from the dead is because it leads us to worship. It leads us to praise. The truth that Jesus is raised from the dead. Friends, this is truth that is worth singing about. It's good news worth praising God for. It's the inspiration of great works of art. It's the subject of untold numbers of hymns and songs that the church has sung for millennia. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the kind of news that we ought to love to sing about, and which we ought to find finding fresh words and tunes to put our praises to. This is news that we ought to find it hard not to praise when we think about it. Why? Why should we remember Jesus risen from the dead being a source of our praise and worship? Because this news never gets old. This news never gets stale. This news never stops being good news, even for the Christian who's been walking with Christ for 90 years. It's the foundation of our faith and our life and our hope, and it's the foundation of our worship. If Christ is not raised from the dead, why sing to God at all? This news never loses its power. The gospel is always God's power for salvation to those who believe. First to the Jew, then to the Greek, as Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16. This news never loses its power. This news never fails to encourage. When Paul is struggling through persecution and hardship and beating and shipwrecks, all on missionary journeys, endeavors to share the gospel with those who have never heard it, why does he keep on going? Because Jesus is raised from the dead. Why does he sing in the middle of a storm on a ship at sea, threatened to lose his own life in the middle of the sea? Because Jesus is raised from the dead. Why does he sing in prison in Acts chapter 16 with Silas there next to him? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. Why does he teach this song to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, teaching Timothy this song to sing? Why? Because Jesus is raised from the dead. And this is news worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. The gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ, who died for sins and for sinners, the news that he was also raised in power and glory and is even now waiting until the day that the Father will send him again in victory to judge the living and the dead and to make this world over in resplendent, permanent brilliance is the theme of all of God's people's praises. Amen. With each breath he's given, we've sung, "We will praise the Lord." Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We will praise the Lord, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, the one who died and rose to ransom all that he would save. He is worthy. He is worthy of what? Of all blessing and honor and glory and praise among his people. Christ the Lord is risen today. All God's people said,
amen.
You're supposed to say hallelujah. That's how the hymn goes. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. You can say amen too. That's all right. Oh, church, remember, 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 and do not forget. Remember and sing to remind yourself and sing to remind the world that Jesus Christ, our living hope, the foundation of our gospel, the fuel of our endurance, the one who is worthy of all our praise, sing to remind yourself and the watching world that he is risen and that this is good news. My friend, have you come to understand this morning that the gospel is for you today? Having seen your sin and your need of a Savior, do you now see that the risen Jesus is your one way to life and forgiveness and a right relationship with your Creator? Would you in your heart depend on Jesus as Lord and Master of your life today? Yeah. Would you this morning remember and never forget Jesus Christ risen from the dead as your God and Rescuer? If this is the case for you, having never trusted Christ for your salvation yet today, having never depended upon the risen Jesus for your justification to God today, I invite you, after we're dismissed, after a time of singing in just a moment, come up to me. I'll be here at the front waiting for you. Tell me of your decision to follow Jesus as Lord today. Yeah. With bold faith in Jesus, come and let me know of your desire to follow him as Savior. Let this day, Resurrection Sunday 2024, be the first day of your new life in Jesus Christ. Your new life founded upon the gospel, the good news that he has raised from the dead. Your new life that is fueled to endure difficulty and hardship because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Your new life full of worship and praise to God for the good news that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we do well to remember that and never forget it. Let's pray together.